Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump touting an announcement today on Russia. He will meet with the NATO secretary to discuss sending more military aid to Ukraine.
We will send them Patriots, which they desperately need.
The president returning to the White House last night. The president expressing support for Attorney General Pam Bondi after she was sharply criticized repeatedly during a MAGA conference over the weekend for not releasing more records from the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. Former Trump advisor Chris Christie says,
there's no chance, in my opinion, that Pam Bondi made this decision on her own. No chance. She was instructed by the White House that we're not releasing this stuff. And that's why he's defending her.
Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino has long supported putting all the Epstein information out there. More heavy rain in the area hit so hard by deadly flooding over the 4th of July around Kerrville, Texas. It slowed the search for more than 160 people still unaccounted for after the record river rise. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves, because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click-to-cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the L.A. Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. There's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting five new players, three pitchers, two infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a three-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 87 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s with a few scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings-on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Matt and Todd Alba tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Well, how was the weekend? Come on in, tell me all about it. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I know that Mother Nature did throw a little bit of a crimp into some county fair activities that were happening, especially those concerts, tractor pulls, or outdoor activities that were planned for Friday night. If you've got rainfall reports, you know the Talk Text line is the way to reach us. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I had a chance to join up with youth at the Sauk County Fair. Stephanie Hoff was at the Jefferson County Fair. I know that some truck and tractor pulls got canceled because of the weather, but like I said, let us know what happened in your backyard. We'd love to hear it. Weather-wise, looks like the front part of this week is going to be very, very nice. Today, we'll start off with sunny skies. Highs right around 85 degrees. Winds out of the southwest, about 5 miles an hour. Tonight, clear down to 65. Tomorrow, sunny. Highs near 87, so getting a little warmer. Still with the breeze out of the south, about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tuesday night, back down to 69. Then Wednesday, things start getting interesting. We've got a chance of more rain in the forecast and maybe even a thunderstorm. That could be all day Wednesday and Wednesday evening. We'll see what Stumach has to say about that as we roll our way through the morning. You know, weather like that can really confound organizers for field events. Kylie Allen's going to be joining us this morning. Her and I were at a special alfalfa field event last week up in the La Crosse area. She's going to bring you that news. And we're also visiting with our friends from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin this morning. Kristen Metcalf is a dairy farmer in Rock County that wants you to know about some of the programs that are going on right now, making sure that the world continues to know how great Wisconsin dairy is in America's dairy land. That's just a little bit of the information on the way. Up next, if you're an enthusiast of old iron, I'm talking about antique tractors and collections. Well, guess what? Bob Bosold caught up with a fella that spent a lot of time putting together a very unique connection. That's right around the corner.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Tom Miller was one of the original owners of Milltrim Farms in Marathon County, which is now the largest robotic milking operation in Wisconsin. When he sold his share of the operation to the next generation, he focused on his next desire, collecting some classic pieces of farm machinery that he can fill his barn with. I'm Bob Bosel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, and Tom Miller told us he likes all colors of machinery, as they're all somewhat unique.
I've turned colorblind since I started collecting. I mean, we farm with John Deere, and I have mostly John Deere two-cylinders, but Moline, I have a fair amount, but I have Alice, Chalmers, and Case, and Oliver, too.
No, you've got an R, a Z, a ZA. What are they all about?
The R was actually the tractor my dad owned when I was growing up, the first tractor I learned how to drive on. So that's what really kind of got it started. We have a John Deere H in my collection, which was the tractor that my grandfather bought, the first one that put the end of the horses on our farm at the time. So I'm trying to collect row crop tractors and tractors that are significant for the Athens area farm that was used in this area.
What's the Z and the ZA Minneapolis all about?
That's part of the same era as the R, just the next size, the next model bigger. Over time, they grew, they upgraded the models.
And right behind it all, you got an old manure spreader that brings back a lot of memories for me with the handles for the apron and the beaters and ground driven. What's that all about? How much manure can that hold? A couple scoops?
Yeah, oh, yeah. What do you look at the old loaders I have in my collection, that it all matched up well. But I'm also trying to collect implements that were used in our area, especially for livestock farming, and obviously a lot of manure spreaders. I remember loading a lot of solid manure out in my day.
And, of course, this collection is really something to see. And I got to ask you, Tom, do you redo these yourself? You got somebody that helps you with a lot of expertise, because these are in prime mint condition.
I'll try to find them already restored. It's much cheaper to do it that way. I've bought them on Mecum auctions, Allman auctions. But the ones that I buy that need restoration, I have two really good local guys. One does the mechanical if I can't get it done. Austin Breezy does that for me. And then Myron Wagner from Edgar does the painting. Two really good young guys that I really like to help get going on their business.
Now, also under the overhang, we see the old case here, and it's got the eagle on the globe. You don't see that much anymore.
No, I don't have a lot. This is my only case. I'd like to collect some more, but a lot of significance, a lot of firsts, these tractors.
When you come to Miltrim Farms, they've got all kinds of things going on here, more than just milk and cows. It's a building here that they built, Tom, that multi-purpose, to say the least.
Yes, this part was the original plan, to have a little bit of a museum for my collection. And the rest of the building was designed just to store equipment for the dairy. But as we were building it, I got to talk to people that were really into pickleball. So we tried it ourselves, had never played it. We ended up liking it, and we, in the middle of the construction, we changed our plan, and we put two pickleball courts in there now, and we get a lot of locals and surrounding communities come and play pickleball.
Even weddings in here?
We had one wedding. We try to avoid that. That's not really, I don't want to have to take all my tractors out for every guy that wants a wedding, but.
I don't blame you. Now, as we come inside here, you've got something, and I will have to admit, I don't know what this is. It's a Moline Universal D. What is that? Because, you know, everything's exposed here. This is quite a tillage tool.
Yes, this is over 100 years old, and at the time when they were building these, it was during World War I, and all companies were trying to figure out what a tractor finally would look like till Farmall designed it. But this was designed so that the horse farmer didn't have to retool, and horse farmers that had horses were used to sitting on their implements. So this, you pull one pin and it goes over and you hook it to different implements. This was the first tractor built that had electric start and a differential lock, and a lot of firsts on this one. And this was Moline before it became Minneapolis Moline. This company, after the war, had financial problems. They ended up selling their plant to Farmall. Then in 1929, they merged with a couple other companies and became Minneapolis Moline.
And when you bought this thing, it didn't cost. Of course, back then, a dollar was a little different value, but it didn't cost a whole lot.
No, I'm not going to say what I had to pay for this, but this one is the one I went to Farmall.
More than what it's got on the label here, what the original guy bought it for.
That's correct. And I had to go to Kansas City for this one.
Did you have to remodel or redo this at all? It was in pretty good shape.
This one is just how I got it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, let's go over to the other side of the building here, as we got Oliver. And, again, let's take a look at what you've got here for Oliver equipment, because this is always interesting. A 60 and a 70 row crop. Now, where'd you get these, and what are these all about?
These were I've been trying to collect the seven brands. When all tractors, there was probably 100 and some companies trying to design tractors. When it was all said and done, there were seven brands that actually became full line about the end of the 30s, early 40s, and Oliver was one of them. So I'm trying to collect all those seven brands, and I have each one of them.
How hard are they to find them? Where do you go to find them with this going online? And you can find anything any place, it seems like, nowadays. Is it a lot easier than when you started?
Oh, absolutely. It's Facebook Marketplace is a big one. Antique trade magazines will have auctions. I'll go to auctions for some of these. But the Oliver, these were the first Olivers I've ever owned and driven. So and I really kind of enjoy them. I appreciate everything each company's tractor brings to the table.
Now, all these are drivable. They're all in working condition.
Correct, yep. Sometimes it takes a little coaxing, but yes, they all run.
And we're going to go back down here. More orange equipment. There's a piece of equipment that you've got here, Tom, that I've never seen before. It's an RTU with a cab. What's this thing all about?
Yes, Minneapolis Moline was the first company to offer a factory cab on their tractors. It wasn't much, and back in the day when the dealers had them on the lots, they couldn't get farmers to even buy them. They have felt, I'm not a sissy, I don't need a cab. So they all got taken off and thrown in the back. Now over the years, they become highly collectible. People are finding them in the old sheds, restoring them, putting them on. So it's a highly collectible tractor.
And about 400 of them are made again. This thing, RTU with a cab from 1939, look at that price now, and you drool if you could buy machinery for that much money.
Yeah, no kidding.
$1,865. Over here, you've got a McCormick Farmall and seed demonstrator, and I grew up, we had some of these on our farm, but never this color. What sand color or what color is this?
This is white. In 1950, International had a promotion to paint 5,000 of their C's, Cubs, and B's, I think it was, 5,000 of them white to celebrate the middle of the century, and they had them taken out to all the dealers and told the dealers to send them out to farmers, let them try them. If they wanted to buy them, International would paint them red for them if they wanted them turned back to red. And the vast majority of them did get painted red, and International didn't even keep track of the serial number, the ones that were white. So the only way you can find out if they were at one time painted white is you might see under the hood, if you're restoring it, that some white paint. So they're fairly rare.
How did you find this?
This one I bought on an almond auction.
And what's your favorite? Of all the collection you've got, we've only talked about a few. What's your favorite? I know you're partial to the green.
Yeah, honestly, that Moline R, because of the significance to my history, is
a... Are you done collecting? What is your... I should ask your wife that question.
She... Yeah, I'm slowing down. Actually, I've been collecting some trucks and restoring some trucks, too. But I got to be real picky when I find one I want. There's certain models I really would like to get yet, but I'm not going to go hog wild like some collectors do.
Well, I'll tell you, what you've collected here is really, really going back in history of American agriculture. Tom Miller here at Miltrim Farms in the Athens area. Besides the dairy where they've got 30 robots, quite a collection Tom has here of antique farm machinery, a lot of tractors, a lot of different colors. On the farm here in Athens, I'm Bob Osold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
So, Stu, that was some of the weather setback from the weekend. Otherwise, it wasn't too bad. Monday and Tuesday look good this week.
Looking good as we get it started. Yeah, the one thing I can say for the weekend, we sure had the heat and humidity, and that added a lot of stress to different things as well. Yeah, this week starts out well. I'm looking ahead. The Fond du Lac County Fair tractor and truck pull is Wednesday night. Right now, fingers are crossed because there will be some rain chance. Yes, we start out this week on the warm side and with an air quality alert. The air quality alert in effect statewide, all of Wisconsin, the UP and lower Michigan, the northern half of Minnesota. That's in effect until noon today. If you looked yesterday, I kind of ignored it, and my wife commented, you could see the haziness from that smoke all day long, just kind of hung there in the atmosphere. Well, there's a weak front trying to drop in out of the northwest. It won't be successful today. It's on the northwest edge of Wisconsin, back towards southeast South Dakota. No rain for us to worry about or even consider. A little rain in far northeast North Dakota, just building into far northwest Minnesota this morning. None of that a concern. High pressure is going to keep us sunny, warm, and sticky. Not much of a wind, so it is going to feel kind of pasty all day long, and we warm it up into Tuesday. But finally, then a system will begin to edge in, and I would expect especially the northwest, call it third of Wisconsin, could see some shower chance developing toward Tuesday afternoon. That rain chance will push further east and southeast Tuesday night, and I'd expect statewide into Wednesday, showers and even a few thunderstorms may develop. That rain chance lasting into late Wednesday or Wednesday night in the southeast part of the state. So we are going to see some rain. At this point, I would look at that and say we could be talking up to a half or maybe 3/4 of an inch in some areas. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Hey, Wisconsin, are you feeling summer? Then it's time to feel cheesy. It's time to feel good. July 31st through August 10th, only at the Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
Critical crop development happening around Wisconsin, and Helena Agri is there to help. Dean Ebert is a product manager in West Bend, and he says right now, pay attention to that alfalfa field.
Well, right now, your new seeding, they get you, most guys got their peas and oats or whatever cover crop harvested off. We've got regrowth out there. So now's the time to be really watching for weeds, annual weeds that can be cleaned up with herbicides as well as grass pressure. Oh, that can be cleaned up right now. And, of course, potato leafhoppers. I know there are some adult leafhoppers out there right now. I don't think their numbers are exploding. But the cost of, you know, $2 to $3 an acre, you can recoup your investment and really ensure that that new seeding is stress-free to keep building its top and pushing a root to really get established and hold itself together going through winter.
Some advice from Dean Ebert, product manager at the West Bend location for Helena Agri. Find a location near you, helenaagri.com.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, along with the smoke in the sky, sunny skies today, and I expect a lot of mid-80s, upper 80s, warmer in northwest Wisconsin with the southwest winds at 5. Clear skies in the nighttime will fall down in the low and mid-60s with south breezes at 5. Tomorrow, a sunny day could be closer to 90 in the west and north, and that chance of rain starts pushing in northwestern Wisconsin tomorrow midday or into the afternoon, and then into the night further as you head east and southeast. And by Wednesday, I'd expect we'll talk, Pam, with some statewide shower or storm activity. Temps still in the low and mid-80s, but as we head toward Thursday, we could be back in the 70s, a cool down for that time.
Wow, interesting. All right, we'll watch and see what happens. At least we've got today. Thanks, Stu.
You betcha. Take care.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compure Financial is your financial resource, whether it's agriculture or maybe you're looking for that little piece of paradise out in the country. Find more resources in an office near you. Check them out online, compure.com. Catch up with you in a moment.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media Radio. We now take you to a recent Darren Von Ruden appearance on Matinee Air on Air.
We did want to start off with this, and this is from Lucas Hunt, a Civic Media news reporter.
Nice.
On our Civic Media website, U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden made an appearance at a cheese plant last Thursday, where he voiced support for the Trump administration tariffs. I'm just wondering if you happen to be in that audience, Darren, is it, or did folks you know talk about this?
No, I was not present for that event, but I have heard a few different comments from some of the individuals that were either there or seen press releases of it.
And what have you heard from folks?
Well, not necessarily happy. The tariffs are something that's really turned this country around, and not necessarily in a good way. It's short-term gain, but I think there's going to be a lot of long-term effects from it that are not going to be on the positive side. So how do we, go about doing our business when we're not sure if we're going to have a market 6 weeks or 2 years from now?
And I'm sure that Derek Van Orden had all kinds of specifics about what he's going to do. Oh, wait, no, that's probably not what happened.
Yeah, it seems pretty vague, and certainly looking at this big, beautiful bill that's being talked about in D.C. right now, he said that he's going to protect the nutrition title of the farm bill to the last extent, which means that he should be voting no on that bill. He voted yes on it because there's $230 billion that's going to be cut from it over the next 10 years. So how is that helping the people that are in most need, which at one point in time in his life, he was one of those people?
That's something he was, we have on video and we played it on various shows. And he not only made a very, very impassioned argument for protecting specifically SNAP. He was talking about SNAP benefits, but he also, accuse the Democrats of lying. And to me, this is a not Democrat or Republican issue. This is a helping people issue. And that SNAP benefit issue is within the farm bill, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, Darren?
That is correct. That's where it's at. And, currently there's 160 plus Republicans that are trying to separate the SNAP title or the nutrition title from the farm bill and trying to make it a farm specific and a nutrition specific bills. Which is not good because food and agriculture are all in one, and so let's keep them together.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump touting an announcement today on Russia. He will meet with the NATO secretary to discuss sending more military aid to Ukraine.
We will send them Patriots, which they desperately need.
The president returning to the White House last night. The president expressing support for Attorney General Pam Bondi after she was sharply criticized repeatedly during a MAGA conference over the weekend for not releasing more records from the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. Former Trump advisor Chris Christie says,
there's no chance, in my opinion, that Pam Bondi made this decision on her own.
No chance. She was instructed by the White House that we're not releasing this stuff. And that's why he's defending her.
Deputy FBI Director Dan Bongino has long supported putting all the Epstein information out there. More heavy rain in the area hit so hard by deadly flooding over the 4th of July around Kerrville, Texas. It slowed the search for more than 160 people still unaccounted for after the record river rise. This is ABC News.
The Bucks lose to L.A.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the L.A. Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. You know, there's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting five new players, three pitchers, two infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a three-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 87 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s with a few scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here at Civic Media, we believe radio plays an important role in strengthening our communities by focusing on what is happening here and now. Here's a clip from a recent edition of the Todd Allbaugh Show, where Todd sat down with Alex Modersky from the Nature Conservancy talking conservation in Wisconsin.
We're joined to talk about other conservation issues by Alex Modersky, the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Alex, before to break, introduced a little bit the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Fund. Former Republican Governor Warren Knowles, former Democratic Governor and U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson, who started and founded Earth Day. What does this program mean for the state of Wisconsin, and why does it appear to be, if not in danger, certainly a concern right now as we look at the current budget process in Wisconsin?
Well, it means everything. It means a lot. I was thinking about this interview, Todd, today before I joined you to chat. And when we talk about the outdoors, it does everything from protect wildlife species, to protect wetlands. It also, for local units of government, does things like create trails, creates parks, helps protect them. You're on a boat launch today. There's a whole sub-program of this Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program that's dedicated to making sure boaters can enjoy that activity. And every acre of land we have at the Nature Conservancy based on this program is open to all nature-based outdoor activities, as we call them, including hunting, fishing, and trapping. And those are such an important part of our state's cultural heritage that I'm glad we can offer that to every Wisconsinite and everyone who wants to visit this state for free. It's a public-private matching grant program, so we don't get this money for free from the state government. We got to show up at the table and explain to the Department of Natural Resources, here's what we think we can do, here's what we think we can protect, and here's what we think people can use. So here's the money we can bring to the table. Can you help us out? The program, I think, is not unique in facing some challenges in the legislature to the extent that that process doesn't always move as smoothly as perhaps most Wisconsinites would ideally like, but that's one reason we continue to go back to the legislature and tout these polls that say 93% of Wisconsinites support the stewardship program.
You've been listening to a portion of the Todd Alba Show. To learn more and to subscribe to the show's podcast, check out the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Markets are not exactly thrilled about all the tariff conversation that unfolded over the weekend, including major tariffs threatened against Canada and Mexico. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on a Monday morning. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. We'll take a closer look at how markets are reacting. That's on the way in just a moment. We're also continuing to talk about how Wisconsin works to elevate our agricultural products on a global marketplace. We try to find opportunity where we can, and we're going to learn more about that from a dairy farmer in Rock County that sits on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board. Stick around for that conversation. On this, the 14th day of July, what can I tell you? On this day back in 1983, Mario Brothers is released for the first time. Nintendo did the release in Japan. It was an arcade game that featured an Italian-American plumber, started in Japan, but it was global and now has turned into movies. Mario Brothers, released on this day in 1983. Tragedy struck on this day in 1999 when a crane collapsed at Miller Park. They were in the process of putting the right field roof panel in place. It weighed about 400 ton, and all of a sudden, the Lamson crane that they called Big Blue collapsed. Three workmen killed. It was a tragedy on this day back in 1999 when Big Blue collapsed at Miller Park. Just one happy birthday for you this morning. You might recognize her as the psychologist on Two and a Half Men, or maybe the voice and face of Illinois tourism. Jane Lynch turned 65 today. Happy birthday. And now you know. Tomorrow, people passionate about alfalfa or cover crops will be getting together at the Arlington Ag Research Facility for the UW-Madison's Forage and Cover Crop Field Day. Runs from 9 until 2. Day-long event is tailored for farmers, agronomists, crop consultants, researchers, students, really anybody that is pretty passionate about forages or cover crops to take a look at the latest tools and technology that could be coming to a field near you. Last week, Kylie Allen and I made a trip talking about similar subjects to West Salem, where the Forage Genetics International Group invited us in. Kylie's got more on what we learned about the latest technology coming to farm fields.
Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report here today talking to Mark Renz. Mark is a professor and extension specialist. Today we are talking all things alfalfa and weed management. Mark, what are we seeing right now for weeds in our alfalfa crop?
Yeah, well, thanks. Weeds are typically a problem, and really alfalfa is two different crops. We have the establishment year alfalfa, and those are the ones that are right now just about being harvested. So hopefully we've had good weed management and been able to keep those weed populations down. Kind of some of our data is if we can keep those weed populations down so it's less than 10% of the overall biomass in the first harvest, then we can optimize our yield as far as quantity and still have really high quality forage. So that's all always the goal, and there is a bunch of different tools that are options. The other crop is the established crop, and that's already been harvested at least two times, probably close to our third harvest, maybe here in some areas. That one, it really depends on the stand status of it. We've had a very wet spring, and so that's good that we get growth, but that delays some of the harvest, and so that can cause some harvesting issues, and we may get some weeds that are starting to establish and pop up. So really, the key thing from a weed management aspect now in alfalfa is just to be scouting, looking for weeds, and looking for stresses to that alfalfa planting growing. Because usually alfalfa is pretty competitive, but when it gets stressed, that's when the weeds take over.
What are some of those signs that producers should be looking for when they're scouting their fields?
Well, I think the first place to look for is just look for areas where that alfalfa is not growing effectively, and then we see suppressed growth and weeds taking over. A lot of times with these harvests, the harvest will actually manage and remove those weeds, so that's good, but if that alfalfa isn't growing well, then it might the weeds might come back and affect the competitive ability of that too. So just keep a lookout for those, and if you do see those weeds, we don't really have a lot of options, so then we have to look at which type of, are we going to manage it, yes or no? I always tell people that if you're going to use a herbicide, you need to get the value of that herbicide in yield in that subsequent cutting. If you think you are, you want to make it that application in a timely fashion. And it's really important because these different herbicides have different restrictions associated with them. Some of them can be applied anytime when the alfalfa is growing. Some can only be applied in certain windows. So we need to really educate ourselves about what those scenarios are.
So you mentioned that our weather that we've had lately is kind of lending to some of those weeds that we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to a couple things. So we've had, right now here we're in La Crosse, Wisconsin, or just outside of La Crosse, they've had something like 7 or 8 inches of rain in the last 10 days. So that's going to impact, we can't get in the field, we can't harvest, we can't do any of our typical management activities. So that's going to put the alfalfa at, stress it and put it as a disadvantage. But weeds are weeds because they can grow in bad conditions, and so they take advantage of that lack of competition from that alfalfa, and they can take off. We're also not able to harvest it in a timely fashion, and harvesting it is one of our biggest strategies for controlling these annual weeds in particular.
So then can you walk me through some of maybe the differences you see in weeds in the different parts of the state?
Wow, that is a great question. So there's, believe it or not, there's more similarities than differences. I'm always amazed as a weed scientist that we have the same weeds growing in these very different parts that have sandy soils or not so sandy soils. It really comes down to the management or the cropping system that we're, and how we manage the crops that are in other years. With the advent of Roundup Ready crops, we're really doing a pretty good job suppressing many of our perennial weeds. So many of our weeds are annuals, with the exception of dandelions. And that's pretty consistent throughout the state. But in some areas where we may be growing more wheat, we may see different crops versus others, whether using cultivation or tillage. But it's surprisingly more similar than different across the regions, and it's really very site-specific. So I can go to a corner in southeastern Wisconsin and have very similar weeds to a corner in the central part of the state. But then you can go to the next field, and it'll be totally different. So it's really, really unique, provides a lot of job security.
If you had to give one piece of advice to producers when it comes to managing those weeds in their alfalfa fields, what is that piece of advice?
That's a great question, and I think to really be an effective at managing weeds and alfalfa, you need to really take care of your alfalfa and really focus on good establishment. It's that establishment year that the weeds are most impactful. And if you can do your job right, follow proper agronomic practices, control your pests, you may not have to manage weeds for 1 or 2 years after that because you have such a competitive stand. So just take care of your alfalfa through proper fertility, cutting practices, and trying to limit the stress to that whenever possible. That's probably the best advice I could give.
Keeping a keen eye on the weeds in our alfalfa crop, that was Mark Renz, professor and extension specialist with UW-Madison. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen. You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Rural Mutual Insurance is a proud sponsor of the Wisconsin State Fair. As a thank you for your support, they're giving away State Fair tickets. Visit ruralmutual.com/win and enter to win State Fair tickets.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
A little good news Friday in the World Ag Supply Demand Report that was released by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They actually lowered our ending stocks on both corn and wheat. The trade did not expect that, but that's kind of where the good news ended. Then over the weekend, of course, conversations developing about amping up our tariffs against key trade partners like Mexico and Canada. That's got the Dow Jones Industrial Average this morning on its heels. Our commodities aren't doing real well either. Right now, September corn is up 3. December new crop up 2.5 at 4.15. August soybeans are up 3. November new crop up 4 at 10.11. The wheat for September's up 4 at 5.49. December new crop up 4 at 5.70. Friday, the barrel cheese dropped 3.5 cents to 167.5. 40-pound black cheese down 2.5 at 166. AA butter was unchanged. This morning, the August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny, 17.75. September, that was up 3 at 18.43 a hundredweight. Quick reminder, county fair activity this week. I hope to see you, if you're a tractor driver, Saturday for our Farm Bay Boogie Tractor Parade. Absolutely free for you to bring your tractor and ride with us in conjunction with the Dane County Fair. Want details? Shoot me a text, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276, and I'll share it with you.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a three-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026 for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair in the world headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
emphasis on what it means to America's Dairyland. Joining us to talk a little bit more about all those frozen treats is Kristen Metcalf. She's a District 25 director for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. She's a dairy producer herself, representing Green, Rock, and Walworth counties, a busy mom as well. So let's talk a little bit, Kristen, about National Ice Cream Month. It is a big deal for Wisconsin, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Thanks so much again for having me, Pam. I'm always excited to talk about and share about Wisconsin dairy. And July is a big month to celebrate dairy and ice cream. Wisconsinites love their ice cream. Our state has a rich history of producing high-quality ice cream and frozen custard, all from that milk produced by 5,500 dairy farms across Wisconsin. More than 46 million gallons of ice cream are produced in Wisconsin annually. There are over 108 million buyers of ice cream across the United States. And an average buyer purchases over 45 pints each year, which is astounding to me.
Oh, yeah. For me, too. I love the idea. Don't think I want to see those numbers, but the numbers are really incredible. Let's talk a little bit about why this is an important message for dairy farmers to share with consumers and why it makes a big deal for our dairy producers to bring up National Ice Cream Month.
It's super important that we make that connection of, you know, ice cream, and it all starts with the dairy farm and the dairy cow. One cow produces enough milk in a single day to make 3 gallons of ice cream. And our dairy farmers are the real MVPs behind every scoop, every pint of ice cream. In 2024, Wisconsin bought 74 million pints of ice cream. That's over a gallon and a half per person. And like I said, it's just important that we make that connection between where it all starts on the dairy farm with happy cows and farmers doing the best they can to produce a quality product.
Again, if you're just joining us, Kristen Metcalf along with us. She is the District 25 director that sits on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin board. She's a dairy producer herself. Green, Rock, and Walworth counties. We're talking about one of my favorite foods, and that is ice cream. It's National Ice Cream Month. And this year, something that people might want to pay attention to, Kristen, as I understand it, a new partnership Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin's forged with Alice in Dairyland. Explain.
Yes, so Alice in Dairyland, as many know, is our state's agriculture ambassador, and she is helping us promote Wisconsin dairy this month, especially in the ice cream category. Throughout this month, Alice will be hosting a statewide spotlight on ice cream in her radio, TV, and digital appearances. On average, Alice helps us earn over $18,000 worth of media coverage and reaches close to 800,000 consumers through those interviews, which is huge visibility for our farmers and our state's dairy industry.
Man, those are big numbers. Do they just talk about ice cream, or do they talk about other dairy-related things?
Yes, yeah, she will cover all dairy products, the dairy industry as a whole, and but just this month she'll really focus in on that ice cream as we celebrate the national holiday.
So people have to remember that this partnership is as much about education as it is celebration.
Yes, it's a huge celebration. We always like to have fun with our education. Did you know that ice cream sundae was invented in Two Rivers, Wisconsin? Originally, it was only sold on Sunday, hence the name, and cost a nickel. In Wisconsin, ice cream sales are 17% higher than average in July. And in Wisconsin, many people also have a soft spot for frozen custard. I certainly enjoy custard myself. It's thicker, creamier, and delicious. And Wisconsin is home to 49 licensed ice cream plants.
Oh, man. Lots of options there. That is wonderful news. Kind of makes my belly grumble right now. So if people want to find out a little bit more about what's happening with the Alice in Dairyland partnership or other ways to celebrate National Ice Cream Month, what do you suggest they do, Kristen?
Well, we've got great information at wisconsindairy.org, including ice cream facts and recipes and spotlights on some local ice cream creameries. And of course, you can follow along with Alice on her social media to catch her media stops and her content and celebrate all things ice cream with her this month.
Yeah, Sarah Hagnall, our 78th Alice in Dairyland, just stepping into that role for National Ice Cream Month, appropriately enough. Again, Kristen along with us, Kristen Metcalf, a dairy farmer in South Central Wisconsin, speaking to you about Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, wisconsindairy.org. And remember, like we said, Kristen, it's not just about National Ice Cream Month, but that is a whole bunch of fun. Are there other things that we're working on? Anything else that we need to recognize about the hardworking people behind the scenes for Wisconsin Dairy? Things, scoops, literally, you might want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, so our recent data came back, and we're just reminding everyone that 99% of Wisconsin dairy farms are family owned. So every cone, dish, or sundae that you enjoy supports those local family farms who are caring deeply for their cows and their community and their farm in general. So just this July, as you're treating yourself to a scoop, think of Wisconsin dairy farmer and remember where it all starts, back with the dairy cow.
Absolutely. That is a message you should hear every month. And that's courtesy of our friends at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Kristen Metcalf, along with us, one of the dairy farmers that sits on the board for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, representing those folks in Green Rock and Walworth counties, working on the dairy side of things so you can enjoy ice cream, not just July and National Ice Cream Month, but year round. Appreciate the tidbits, Kristen. Like she said, if you want to find out more about ice cream or any dairy related products, go to wisconsindairy.org. All brought to you courtesy of our friends from Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. I'm PM Yankee.
Is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Using ag data to tell the farm story to the non-farming public. Next on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources and Conservation Service has been collecting ag data for 90 years, and they're not doing it just for fun. The agency puts those data to practical use, NRCS Chief Aubrey Betancourt.
A number of platforms that are affiliated with some of our soil health, some of our habitat work, and we're actually challenging the team to go back into our data. We know we started here on this resource concern in this critical watershed. What did we get when we made this investment over the last 10 years?
Betancourt says this action makes the data relevant to folks who are not part of the ag environment. And she adds, it also makes the farmer the hero in the story.
You wouldn't have gotten the water quality improvement in New York City from working with upstate dairymen, or the improvement in pollinator habitat, or the improvement in fish species or habitat development in waterways, if you hadn't invested in the farmer implementing those practices and keeping them farming on the landscape. I think that is why it's doubly important for NRCS, for all of us as partners, to be communicating that.
Betancourt says a deep analysis of conservation program data helps the NRCS know what's working and what isn't.
We start rewarding things that are successful. And what's successful is the farmer on the landscape engaging in voluntary conservation.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday, we'll put a focus on Green Bay goings-on. We'll chat with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and preview the Jane Matinere Todd Alba Tour of Wisconsin.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Stock futures are pointing lower this morning following another tariff threat. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio with more on which countries are affected by this one.
Mexico and the European Union are joining a growing list of countries whose imports will face tariffs beginning August 1st. In a letter to the EU and Mexico posted on social media, we know that President Trump announced that all imports will be subject to a 30% tariff. Both criticized the move, but said they wanted to keep negotiating with the U.S.
Following a pause in shipments 2 weeks ago, the president says the U.S. will now be sending weapons to Ukraine once again. The president today meeting with a NATO secretary general to explore who will exactly be paying for those weapons. Two women were killed on Sunday at a church in Lexington, Kentucky, both shot to death by a suspect who was later shot and killed himself by police. Preliminary information indicates he may have had some connection to the two women who were shot, but they are still sorting out the details. This is ABC News.